As I read through Psalm 119 this week, I thought, oh, that the church would regain a hunger for the Word of God like is written in this psalm. You really can't add anything to this psalm. If you were to try to add something, some sentiment or truth concerning the Word of God, I doubt we could add anything to it. It's so complete. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. The book of Psalms in and of itself is a pretty long book. I mean, 150 of those babies, and it's taken us a long time already. In the early days of our country, part of our history was that of the Pony Express that rode from St. Louis, Missouri to Sacramento, California. They got those horses going real fast, and they make the course from Missouri to Northern California in 10 days. They were weight conscious, so they would take and use a very thin, light saddle and make sure that the horse had tiny shoes, sometimes even without nails. They'd fix them a certain way. The rider had to wear light clothing, and the paper, if you were going to mail a letter on the Pony Express, had to be a certain type, had to be ultra-thin paper so they could carry him all the way across country. Made sure that you only needed what was absolutely necessary if you were a rider of the Pony Express. They wanted to make sure it was light and streamlined. And yet each rider was given a complete copy of the Old and New Testament to carry along with him. It was seen as absolute necessity as part of the government system. If you were a rider with the Pony Express, that was absolute basic stuff for the journey. There was a love for the Word of God in this country in the beginning that is lost today. And oh, that God's people would return to the Word of God. There is a famine, I believe, in this day and age for the Scriptures. And I pray the churches would turn from its programs and gimmicks and entertainment to the simple teaching of the Word of God. And those churches will find that God will honor His Word as He said above His name. You don't need gimmicks. All you need to do is teach the Word. People want to hear what God has to say. We're tired of gimmicks. We're tired of being entertained and everything just so prim and proper. All we want to do is hear what God has to say. And I think it's time that man shuts up and lets God speak. And because of that, we're going to read through Psalm 119 tonight. I'm not going to comment on it. And we're going to go and read all the way through it and let the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Then we'll go over it and see some of the benefits of the Word of God. But again, I'm just totally blown away that the guy who wrote this, be it David or someone else, we don't know, was so in love with meditating upon God's Word, and there's many names for it in this psalm. Precepts, ordinances, law, word, many descriptions that all mean the same thing, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And so we begin. Now, you notice it's an acrostic psalm. It begins with Aleph, and then Bet, Gimel, Dalet. It's the Hebrew alphabet. It is an acrostic. That is, the first eight verses begin with the letter in the Hebrew alphabet, A, or there's not really an A, Aleph. The next eight letters begin with the letter Bet. The next eight letters, Gimel, on and on. All 22 letters, eight stanzas in a row, giving us 176 verses. By the way, that is how the kids learn their alphabets. And that's kind of a long way around to learn the alphabets. I mean, they just didn't sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Many of them memorized this acrostic psalm as a means to memorize the alphabet. They grew up on their mother's knee learning this verse of Scripture and became intricate in their worship as they went on. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all Your commandments. I will praise You with uprightness of heart when I learn Your righteous judgments. I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to Your word. With my whole heart I have sought You. Oh, let me not wander from Your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed, who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wondrous works. My soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. I cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread. For your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed, and I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. Remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and in my affliction. For your word has given me life. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Indignation has taken a hold of me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I remember your name in the night, O Lord, and I keep your law. This has become mine because I kept your precepts. You are my portion, O Lord. I had said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. I thought about my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. I made haste and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. You have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver. Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from seeking your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I have become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? The proud have dug pits for me, which is not according to your law. All your commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help me. They almost made an end of me on the earth, but I did not forsake your precepts. Revive me according to your loving kindness, that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances. For all your servants, unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have given me life. I am yours. Save me. For I have sought your precepts. The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I will consider your testimonies. I have seen the consummation of all perfection, but your commandment is exceedingly broad. Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than the honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Be surety for your servant for good. Do not let the proud oppress me. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word. Deal with your servant according to your mercy and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant. Teach me your statutes. Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not keep your law. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and very faithful. My zeal has consumed me, because my enemies have forgotten your words. Your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Lord. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever. Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, O Lord. Revive me according to your judgments. Many are my persecutors and my enemies, yet I do not turn from your testimonies. I see the treacherous and am disgusted, because they do not keep your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Princes persecute me without a cause, but my heart stands in awe of your word. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure. I abhor and hate lying, but I love your law. 7 times a day I praise you because of your righteous judgments. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. O Lord, I hope for your salvation, and I do your commandments. My soul keeps your testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I keep your precepts and your testimonies, for all my ways are before you. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Let my supplication come before you. Deliver me according to your word. My lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise you. Let your judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. What a prayer! What a quite a lengthy prayer. You can't really add much concerning the Word of God, but it shows you one thing, that whoever wrote this psalm, his final authority was what? The Word of God. His delight was the Word of God. His joy, his meditation. He turned to it when he was afflicted, and there are many times in this psalm where this guy was just downright bummed out. His heart was melting within him, but he would not disobey the commandments of the Lord. In times of joy, in times of fear, in times of plight, the Word of God was not only his companion, but he says his counselors. There are a great many people who do not share the sentiment of this psalmist, it's hard for them to really get into reading the Word. For some reason, they want to be entertained. They're tired of the old manna, like the children of Israel going through the desert. We don't want manna anymore. Same old stuff. We want quail. Now, there are some benefits to the Word of God, and we're not going to go over it again, all of it. We're going to look at a few different verses. Verse 9. The Word of God purifies us. That's one of its benefits. How can a young man cleanse his way? How can you be pure? By taking heed according to your word. You want to live a pure life? You want to live a life that's pleasing to God? Obey the Scriptures. The Word of God has a purifying effect. I love the old proverb. I think it's a Swedish proverb. It says, "My son, this book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book." The Word of God has an incredible way of cleansing us. Jesus said, "Now you are clean through the Word which I have spoken unto you," John chapter 15. And so first of all, it purifies. Look over at verse 45. The Word of God gives us freedom. It says, "And I will walk in liberty, for I seek your precepts." Verse 72, the Word of God satisfies. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of shekels of gold and silver." Look at verse 81. Talks about his suffering. "My soul faints for you, for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My eyes fail from seeking your word, saying, 'When will you comfort me?'" Look at verse 92. "Unless your law had been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts." He's saying, "Lord, if I didn't have a final resting place and a final authority, I would have been a goner." How true that is for those of us who walk with the Lord when we are going through times of just severe drought. And we think, "Lord, just give me a promise. Just show me something that'll uplift me, something from your heart that'll keep me going." And how many times we've gone through those things, and just in the nick of time, the Lord gives us a promise. "Lord, unless you would have done that, I would then have perished in my affliction." Look at verse 99. "For they are ever with me. I have more understanding than my teachers." The Word of God gives us insight. "I have more understanding than my teachers." There is perhaps no sphere of greater intimidation than the scholarly world. You who go to college, bear witness, I'm sure. It is intimidating when you're around people who are refined and experts in their field of discipline. And it's especially intimidating when through their knowledge they knock your beliefs. But I have found, and I have observed, that a person who really knows the Word of God is not intimidated in the midst of such knowledge. He has watched how the Word of God works in his own life or her own life, and when all of these people spout off as if they know more than God, it doesn't really intimidate the person who knows the Scripture. The person who flounders and doesn't know the Word of God finds himself very, very intimidated. But a person who by experience, not only study, but experience, has watched the Word of God take root in his life and grow and bear fruit is not easily intimidated, even by the pseudo-intellectuals that spout off. "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Now look at verse 100, the maturity that comes through the Word of God. "I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts." Maturity comes through studying the Scriptures. I don't know how a person can think he can grow apart from studying the Bible. You can't. Because your inner man, the spiritual you, depends upon a constant diet. And if you're not feeding it properly and you're not feeding it constantly, well, what'll happen to you if you quit eating? You say, "Oh, I'll lose weight." Well, as spiritual beings, you don't need to lose any weight. Love the little saying that says, 7 days without praying, or 7 days, the other saying goes, without reading the Bible makes 1 week. 7 days without reading the Bible makes one weak. W-E-A-K. You cannot grow apart from a consistent diet of the Bible. I have never met a real Christian who doesn't want to grow. When you and I talk together and we fellowship, be it after a service or wherever we see each other, usually I pick up from you, those that I share with, that you really want to grow, understand God's will, understand God's ways, grow and learn to please Him. The Word of God helps you grow. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, according as His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these, by what? By the promises of God, you might be a partaker of the divine nature. That is, you and I can grow as much as you apply yourself to it. God has given you everything you need to grow and be spiritually strong. Why is it then that there are some in the church that die on the vine? Why is it there are some in the church that get choked by the cares of this world? Why are there some that the roots just don't go down? Why do some bear forth 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold? God has given us all things, all the resources we need to grow, by which are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. But then, Peter said, therefore, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, and so forth. In other words, God has given you the goods. He's packaged them. They're lying on the table. That's His part. He's fulfilled part A. He's given you everything you need to grow. Be mature, be strong, affect the world, make an impact. Now, you giving all diligence or putting everything you have into it, add to your faith. Appropriate the promises. I think it is a rather meaningless prayer to say, Lord, give me more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, give me more peace and give me more of that. He's already given it to you. You should say, Lord, help me appropriate what you've already given to me. Help me to grow up and become mature and meditate on your word. He's given us the promises. You can always tell a person's relationship with his or her Lord by the way they treat the promises of God. A downtrodden, pessimistic, always head-hanging low Christian speaks volumes of one who does not know his Lord very well. I am not saying that there are not times where we feel that way and even seasons where we go through distress. But a person who is constantly just always one problem after another, downtrodden, shaken, never confident, shows that that person has never been able to appropriate and really believe the promises, the Word of God. And you will find a person like that slipping off to the counsel of man. In fact, forming a dependent relationship, a therapeutic relationship upon another human being rather than trusting in the full counsel of God. Lord, David said, or the psalmist said, your words are also my counselors. I love the gifted men and women God has placed in the church. It blows my mind. As I look around this church, the gifted people God has raised up as counselors, and by the Holy Spirit, the church needs those counselors. Because we don't have walls in our offices, I get to overhear Chet and Gino and Mark and Richard, and I think as I hear them, I go, these guys are great. These guys are gifted counselors. And as beautiful as their counsel is, there's nothing like hearing the voice of God personally to my heart through the Word. God has the ability to mature me as I just open my heart bare before Him in the Word, to just point the area and say, deal with this. Your deficit in this. You really need this. And God is faithful to do that constantly. And so I understand more than the ancient, the promises of God. When I lived in San Bernardino and I was going through college the first few years, there was a time when I was low. My weekly, biweekly income was not very much. I was on a student stipend scholarship, and I barely made payments. There were times where the money wasn't there. And so I would go out and learn to stretch my money by buying peanut butter and bread. You know, I was a bachelor. I couldn't make great meals, but I could make a great peanut butter sandwich. A lot of protein in it. So I'd butter up the bread with peanut butter and jelly, and when the jelly ran out, it would just be bread and peanut butter. There was a couple times when the bread ran out. It was just peanut butter. Go home in the evening, and I remember a couple nights in a row, just a spoon and a jar of peanut butter. I said, well, Lord, bless this peanut butter in Jesus' name. Stretch it. There's a couple times where I was really doubting the promises of God. I'll never forget, I went to my mailbox one time in a real desperate time. I opened the mailbox, and there was a check from the Treasury of the United States. And I had forgotten that I had mailed my income tax in and that I was going to get some back. And it was my income tax return check. And it came just at the nick of time. And I was just going, oh, man, I had been so bummed out for the last 2 weeks. And my check came in. I was dancing. I needed that couple hundred bucks. Came in the mail. Man, I was dancing around going, I got my money. And it was as if God spoke to my heart. How do you know it's real? Oh, come on. It says Treasury of the United States government. I know it's real. They've made a promise to me that if I take this piece of paper down to a institution sanctioned by the government, that I'll get cash for it. That's their promise to me. And God busted me. I've been promising you for 2 weeks that I'd take care of you, and you never got that excited. Oh. He didn't dance for joy. I promised that I'd never leave, forsake you. I promised that I'd provide all your needs, pay your bills, give you food. I didn't see you hooting and hollering. Now the government made a promise to you, and oh, you're so jazzed. And while it was a blessing from the Lord, I had to repent of my attitude because I did not do what Habakkuk did at the end of his book. He said, though there's no fruit on the vines, there's no animals in the stalls, and I can't see anything of provision, I will jump for joy in the Lord who will provide. I didn't do that. God gave me his promises all along. And I learned a good lesson of maturity in that one. Look over at down at verse 105. There's direction from the word of God. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. In the old days, they didn't have flashlights. They didn't have headlights on their cars. And when they would walk on journeys, they would often take oil lamps that were made out of clay and attach them to their ankles, and they'd walk. And it would become like a little fire as they'd walk. It would be an actual lamp attached to their feet so that they could see the next step. They couldn't see 50 feet ahead of them, but they could see the next step. They wouldn't fall into a hole. And so God gives us direction. He keeps us on the right path. Through his word, he gives us direction not to go the wrong way. Look at verse 130. It's amazing to think of that, verse 130. God gives us perspective. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I cannot recount the times I have been confused, and as I meditate on the scriptures, God will bring into perspective all of my problems, all of the issues. As I just dump them out before the Lord, I can see straight. After I've spent a protracted time in his word. Verse 165. Great peace have those who love your law. Another benefit of the word. And look at the next part of that verse. Stability is guaranteed. Nothing causes them to stumble. Now, we have just seen the benefits of the word of God. Direction, perspective, peace, stability, insight, understanding, purity. How many of you want those? Boy, I do. Then meditate on the word of God. Meditate on it. Remember the very crown psalm of this book, Psalm 1? Blessed, oh, how happy is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor does he stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. I think Christians need to recover or rediscover, let's say, the value of meditation. I'm not talking about Zen. I'm not talking about going with mantras. I mean good old biblical meditation, where you'll take a portion of Scripture and you'll sit on it a while and let it go over and over. One of the most beneficial ways to read the Bible is to take a book and read it through from beginning to end, if you can, if it's not too long of a book, like an epistle, at a setting. And do that every day for a month. I will guarantee you at the end of every single day, you will see something brand new and the Holy Spirit will reveal another truth to you. In a month, you will know that book. You will know its theme. You will know the problems of the people to whom Paul wrote. You will know the victory over the besetting sins of those people. You'll have tremendous insights. Meditation. Going over it again. Take the Scriptures. In fact, here's a good practice for you. When you read the Scriptures on your own, read them out loud sometimes. Try it. Read them out loud. Listen to yourself. A lot of times, if someone could watch me as I study, I begin my weekly study for Sunday morning just reading the text over and over again. Sometimes I'll pace back and forth in my office and I'll read it out loud. I'll let the Holy Spirit echo it back to my heart. Sometimes I'll emphasize different words in the verse and in the text, and as I do, new meanings come. As you do it, a next step would be to say the whole thing in your own words. Let's say you're going through 10 verses. Write it out in your own version. In your own words, say it. If you can't say it in your own words, you don't know the meaning of it. If you can, you do. A final step when you meditate upon the Word of God is to obey it. Ask yourself, is this telling me something I need to do? Or is it telling me to stop something that I'm doing? For instance, the other day I was just reading through the book of Acts, and it talked about how the early church was continually praying in the upper room. And the Lord just began to speak to me that I needed to spend some time in continual prayer before Him, uninterrupted prayer. He just wanted to speak to my heart and that I needed to just get things off my heart. And right as I was praying, I stopped. As I was reading the Bible, I stopped and started obeying what I had just read. It's a really key issue when you go through the Bible on a daily basis in your quiet time. Write some of the principles down and then do them that day. An example I've given before is that when I was going through a devotional period one morning, I was reading where Jesus went to the Samaritan woman, the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The Samaritans were enemies of the Jews, but Jesus went out of his way to go to the enemies of the Jews and reach out and show love. So I stopped and I thought, now how could I put this into practice? And that was an interesting period in our lives. The board and staff will remember that there was a period when the old owner of our building, when we were up on Eubank, was wanting to double our rent because he knew the church was now large and we had money. He's a businessman in Beverly Hills, an unbeliever. It was an investment for him, and so he knew we had a lot of people coming and he wanted to double the rent. And we said, forget it. We signed a contract. We're not going to give you a penny more. It's on paper. It's not right. He goes, I'll take you to court. He didn't have a case, but he was going to take us to court. All right, we'll go. The whole thing blew over, and in the process, as you know, here we are. God gave us this place. But as I was reading and the whole thing had blown over, the Lord just said, now, you just read about Jesus going out of his way to minister to the enemies of the Jews and show love. So the Lord spoke to me that day I needed to write a letter to him, to his home in Beverly Hills, and just say, it's all over with, it's all settled, but I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I'd still love to get together with you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Let me know if I can do anything if you're ever in town. I never heard from him, but I'm sure it blew his mind. That's a real key as we go through the Bible and meditate on it, to let God use it to bring forth principles. Some of you heard of George Mueller. He's written a little book called Answers to Prayer. There's a couple other books he has written, but this is a condensed version of all of the answers to his prayer. Time would not permit us tonight to recount them. George Mueller, by faith, started an orphanage with just a few shillings. He ended up having 10,000 orphans During the 60 years that he had this orphanage, raising them, he eventually had 5 orphan houses, and sometimes 2,000 orphans apiece were living in these homes. And he writes in one of his daily autobiographies, in fact, it's good for you to keep one of those, 1841, George Mueller begins, "It has pleased the Lord to teach me a truth, the benefit of which I have not lost for more than 14 years. The point is this. I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. The first thing to be concerned about was not how I might serve the Lord or how I might glorify the Lord, but how I might set my soul into a happy state and how my inner man might be nourished." Interesting thing. "I saw that the most important thing I had to do was to give myself to the reading of the Word of God, not prayer, but the Word of God. And here again, not the simple reading of the Word of God so that it only passes through my mind just as water runs through a pipe, but considering what I read, pondering over it, applying it to my heart, to meditate on it, that thus my heart might be comforted, encouraged, warmed, reproved, and instructed. And that thus, by means of the Word of God, whilst meditating on it, my heart be brought into experimental communion with the Lord. I began, therefore, to meditate on the New Testament from beginning early in the morning. The first thing I did, after having asked in a few words the Lord's blessing upon His precious Word, was to begin to meditate on the Word of God, searching, as it were, into every verse to get the blessing out of it. When we pray, we speak to God. Now, prayer, in order to be continued for any length of time, in any other than formal manner, requires general speaking, a measure of strength or godly desire, and the season, therefore, when this exercise of soul can be most effectively performed is after the inner man has been nourished by meditation on the Word of God, where we find our Father speaking to us, to encourage us, to comfort us, to instruct us, to humble us, to reprove us. By the blessing of God, I ascribe to this mode the help and strength by which I have had from God to pass in peace through deeper trials in various ways than I ever had before. How different when the soul is refreshed and made happy early in the morning from what it is when, without spiritual preparation, the service, the trials, and the temptations of the day come upon me." Signed, George Mueller, May 9th, 1841. Beautiful. The man studied the Word of God, the man meditated on it, and the man was a man of prayer. Before we move on, and we're about to move off, but before we go on, let me just tell you a little bit about George Mueller. Let me tell you some of the miracles in answer to his prayers, which were prompted by the Scriptures. He tells in his autobiography that there was a time when his orphanage lacked food. Now, Mueller felt in his heart that he should never beg for money. And when I read that, I thought, the man after my own heart, godly man, never asked for money. No matter how desperate he got, he never asked for money. In fact, there were times when he withheld showing his board the financial statement because he knew that they would start soliciting funds. And he was really in a fix. He said, I refuse to do it. I'm going to let the Lord bless. I'm never going to mention my need. And he says there were times when the orphans didn't even have enough food on the table. And he began to pray. Open his Bible, get direction from God, meditate on the Word, and pray accordingly. And he tells a story how that one time a baker knocked on the door early in the morning. He says, I don't know what it was, but last night I felt like God woke me up at 2 a.m. and said, bake bread. Mueller needs it. He says, I've been baking all night till 6 a.m. and I'm delivering it. Hot, fresh bread, and brought in bread and butter, and all the kids ate. And he says, the very day after the baker came, no joke, a milkman had broken down right outside one of his orphanages, came in and said, I can't make it to the city, and I've got this milk, it'll spoil, can you use it? Yeah, well, sure, I suppose we can drink it for you. There was a time when Mueller was sailing across the Atlantic Ocean, going to Canada, to Quebec for a meeting. They didn't have airplanes, he was on a boat. fog rolled in over the ocean, and it looked like the boat really was going to be delayed because they had to slow down. And Mueller went up to the captain. He was now way in his 70s. He said, "Captain, I need to get to Quebec by Saturday afternoon." Now, it's Wednesday. "I understand there's fog here, but I have to get there by Saturday, so let's get a move on." Captain said, "Mr. Mueller, we're never going to make it by Saturday. This fog has rolled in, and it looks like it's going to stay here a while. We're not going to make it." Mueller goes, "You don't understand. In 57 years, I have never once broken an appointment or an engagement when I promised to be there." He said, "I'm going to be there." "Well, Mr. Mueller, you're facing fog, man. There's fog out there." Mueller said, "My eye is not on the fog. My eye's on the Lord who can remove it. And let's pray right now." And the captain says, "Okay, let me pray with you." And Mueller says, "No, don't pray. Because you don't believe it. I don't want you praying with me. You don't believe it's going to happen. Forget it. You just stand and watch." And Mueller prayed. 2 hours later, the fog was lifted and he made it Saturday afternoon. Fascinating reading. George Mueller, Answers to Prayer. Ran an orphanage, believed in God, never went around begging for money. The Lord just provided for his needs. And his primary concern was every morning meditating on the Word of God. Verse 176, love it the way it ends. "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments." We could go on into the next several Psalms, but I have a lot to say on them, and I would feel restrained were I to go on, because the next several Psalms are my delight, because they are the Psalms of ascents when the pilgrims would go 3 times a year on the annual feast to Jerusalem, and they would sing these Psalms as they would go up to the hills facing Jerusalem for the feast. They are Psalms that we as a group, a tour group, sing. Some of them, some of the ones we know, as we go up to Jerusalem and we recite them in the bus as we're going, making our way up to Jerusalem and standing over the holy city and recounting the traces of the pilgrims. And I get so into it and so emotional because I love Israel so much that I would walk away bummed out tonight if I just had to get into it and stop. So we'll wait for next week. And we'll close in a word of prayer. And Angela, I'm going to ask you to come and share a special song with us. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we have meditated even briefly and we have considered the value of your word to whoever wrote this psalm, we are humbled by a man who sought you with his whole heart. And yet in looking at the results of a person who gave this much attention to the scriptures, to your law, we observe that he saw results, peace in his life, direction, perspective, maturity, understanding, purity. Lord, those are the very things we want. And you have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of you, the exceeding great and precious promises, those things that help us partake of your nature, things that help us grow. I pray, Lord, that as Peter admonished us, we will give all diligence and add to our faith so that our lives would bear forth much fruit to bring glory to you. I pray, Lord, that we will not be content just coming to church, filling a pew, and observing. We will only be content, as the psalmist said, when we awaken your likeness, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Help us, Lord, to seek you in a new way. And Lord, tonight when we go home, tomorrow when we wake up, whatever time it is, as we meditate on your word, as we ponder it, not just read it, but feed upon it, I pray, Lord, that you will speak direct things to our hearts and give us explicit direction from your heart to ours. Open up new avenues of communication with you. I pray, Lord, that you'd pour forth upon our lives springs of living water through your word. In so much as we ourselves will weep when we see people forgetting your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Ange?